from KQED.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg is expected to speak publicly within the next 24 hours about the social network's response to revelations that data firm Cambridge Analytica improperly used user data. But it may be too little too late for some who fear Facebook and its affiliates play fast and loose with their personal information. Now, many users are deleting their accounts and say they won't be coming back. Are you one of them? Why or why not? You can call us now and let us know at 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. Or email us, forum@kqed.org. And you can also post on, yes, our Facebook page. But please feel free to join the program. I know there are many people indignant about this. And we want to hear your thoughts. People even talking about suing Facebook. But let's talk with our guest, Antonio Garcia Martinez, who's joining us here in studio, former Facebook product manager, contributing writer for Wired now, and author of Chaos Monkeys, Obscene Fortune, and Random Failure in Silicon Valley, which we featured on Forum and you can find in our archives. And welcome back.
Thank you, Michael.
Good to have you here. I'd like to begin by talking with you. Well, there's such a range of things to talk about. We're going to hear from our listeners and what they're feeling and if they've done anything with their Facebook accounts. But we're talking about 50 million listeners with personal information and personal information compromised. None of this would have happened had it not been for Cambridge Analytica, of course.
That's right.
And so at this point, let's talk about psychographics, which is a word probably most people don't recognize or don't care to know about, but they should know about.
Yeah, so psychographics is a sort of awkward coinage. It's kind of a riff on demographics, which is how marketers usually think about people, age, gender, geo. In this case, though, it's more a psychological state of mind that, in theory, gives the target of an advertiser, a proclivity for a product or potentially a politician. And the idea is that you sort of psychoanalyze someone remotely via media and then, choose a piece of media to expose them to that hopefully they react positively to.
So Facebook is calling this a data breach. They have all this personal information on millions of people. Data breach, does that fit here?
I think breach is actually a strong word. That implies that somehow Facebook got hacked or that someone managed to sort of pierce the cordon of security they usually have around their data. This is really focused around a product called Platform. And if for listeners who aren't familiar, this is almost like an app marketplace, kind of like for your iPhone. So, a third-party developer can come, write some code for Facebook, and then users can opt into it. As part of that opt-in process, a third party, not Facebook, gets access to some of their user data. And it's, that data is usually held under fairly tight restrictions given the constraints of the contract that developers have. But it's actually kind of hard for Facebook to actually enforce it. And there's really nothing keeping developers from making off with the data and doing something nefarious with it.
So where's their culpability? I mean, a lot of people are blaming Facebook. Is that, in your judgment, just? They have suspended Cambridge Analytica. What more should they do?
Right. I mean, look, anytime you have an open marketplace with a lot of user data and third-party developers, there's data that's going to leak out, whether it be the iPhone App Store or whether it be Facebook's platform. I think where Facebook should face some criticism here is in how long it took them to react. This story is breaking now, but, Facebook historians who go back, this story has been credibly reported for at least a year and a half, 2 years. And certainly inside Facebook, they should have been aware of what Cambridge Analytica was up to. So the question I have is, why did it take them this long to basically enforce their own data policy towards Cambridge Analytica? The company I knew would have been far more aggressive about this sort of transgression.
Well, I'll use their word. Was this a breach of ethics or was this illegal not to have responded, to have been delayed so long?
Depending how much they knew and when they knew it, right? That's what it comes down to.
Always does come down to that, doesn't it?
I mean, one thing, I hate to sound like I'm wearing my Facebook fleece like I used to wear, but, one thing you have to realize, people tend to think that Facebook is sort of omniscient and knows everything that's going on in its platform. And when you're inside, an empire that's 2.5 billion users, it's often very difficult to make out what's going on. And, it's possible that at least at the very beginning, this actually slipped under Facebook's radar.
So those who are blaming them for Trump's election? Unfair, fair, reasonable, unreasonable?
I mean, I do think Facebook had a hand in having Trump elected, yes. I think the way you phrased it somehow implies that Facebook somehow colluded or wanted Trump to win. I wouldn't say that. But I do think one of the other pieces I wrote a couple weeks ago actually sketched out how Trump probably did use Facebook's advertising to win the presidency. So, yeah, I mean, Facebook definitely had a hand in Trump. No question, I think.
Well, Mark Zuckerberg was MIA. He's going to be speaking, as I said in the introduction, within the next few hours, at least so we're told. But he and Sheryl Sandberg were not at a meeting that was held of employees yesterday at Menlo Park. What should they be speaking about? I mean, what should they address today? What should Zuckerberg say?
Yeah, you know,
other than mea culpa, maybe. Or...
Right. His not appearing is really strange because traditionally there was what's called Q&A at Facebook. Every Thursday, you know, Zuck would get up and address questions from employees. And, he was always very open in terms of facing concerns about where the company was going. So it's unusual that it's taken him this long, I think, to address either the public or the company. It's hard for me to channel what he's going to say, but I posted this thing that I can tell that sort of the internal morale and sort of internal cohesion of Facebook is crumbling by the number of sources that have come out to actually report on what's going inside Facebook. If you talk to most Bay Area journalists, they'll sort of lament that Facebook was always famously difficult to penetrate because the sort of aura of silence around it was very well enforced because people were very motivated by their mission, as indeed they are. They really do believe in Facebook's mission. But that is sort of, I think, after the election, that all started to fracture. I think there's real doubts and a lot of internal turmoil right now inside Facebook. So I think his goal would probably be, if I were him trying to channel him, would be to somehow try to restore that internal cohesion inside the company.
Well, it's also, I think at this point, pretty clear that there's a lot of economic stake in this. The stock was down. It's come back a bit, but it was pretty far down. The value has been cut by $50 billion just in 2 days.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Facebook is still worth hundreds of billions. But yeah, indeed it has. Yeah.
Well, let's find out what our listeners have to say about this. In fact, I'll put the question out again. What are you doing about your Facebook account? And what do you think should be done about Facebook accounts? And you want to join us? You can do that right now. Our toll-free number is 866-733-6786. Or you can email your thoughts, questions, or what you plan on doing or what you think people should be doing to forum@kqed.org. Or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. Antonio Garcia Martinez is with us. He's former Facebook product manager, now contributing writer for Wired and author of Chaos Monkeys. And we also would like to hear from Facebook employees. We did reach out to Facebook. They declined. But we're not going to decline your calls. We're going to go right to them. And here's Noah in Fremont. Good morning.
Hi. I'm choosing not to leave Facebook because I run a trans-intersex housing page, and I can't afford to abandon my subscribers who rely on it to find affordable housing in the Bay Area.
Okay. So you're sticking with Facebook, I take it?
I am. And even after the data breach, I view the platform as too valuable to abandon.
All right. Good to hear from you, Noah. Thank you. We'll hear from more listeners. Let me go to Rachel next in Palo Alto. Rachel, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
So
I am a user that will be leaving Facebook.
Because?
For several reasons. One, as you know, it's the topic of discussion today, I really don't feel comfortable with what the company is doing with my personal information, feels like behind my back, and Facebook just isn't what it used to be. You know, I feel like I use it to keep in touch with family and share my life because we don't live in the same state. And it just doesn't really serve that purpose anymore. I don't appreciate having, you know, another reason is that I feel manipulated, too. You know, all of these targeted ads all the time, it just isn't what it used to be. And then now the what they're doing with our information is also concerning. And, you know, I'd like to know why we... And not just with Facebook, but with a lot of platforms, users don't have options. You know, you either opt into their privacy policies, which don't really feel like they're out to protect you, or you just can't use the platform at all.
All right.
And I feel like that's really frustrating, and that needs to be changed. We need options.
So you're leaving
using this platform.
under this feeling
yeah,
of being manipulated. I get it. And Rachel, thank you for weighing in on this. A lot of people are weighing in, as you can do, by emailing us, forum@kqed.org, or tweeting. Nick tweets, I deleted my Instagram account too, never again. Enrique writes, social media is a social experiment to test just how many limits and constraints to your freedom you will tolerate. It will become the utility for monitored communication. And Andrew says, if people truly value their privacy, they should have shown more self-restraint and wouldn't have posted so much information under their name on Facebook to begin with. Can't have it both ways. say to that, Antonio?
Yeah, your callers bring up a lot of good points. I think, you know, one of the interesting points was your first caller mentioning how Facebook, for whatever his project was a necessity. And I think there was a great tweet that said, you know, for many, giving up Facebook would be a privilege. For many communities or in parts of the developing world, you know, Facebook is just one of the core means of communication. And so they don't really have the privilege of just giving up Facebook and walking away from it.
Well, since you mentioned the global effect, the EU and, well, European countries in general have come down a lot harder, cracked down a lot harder. I mean, it's just clear that Zuckerberg's going to be called in front of Congress again. But they're reacting and reacting strongly.
Yeah, it's funny. European attitudes towards privacy are very different than American ones due to their own tortured history. In the U.S., it's really a consumer affairs sort of issue, and there it is a matter of law. And they recently passed what's called GDPR, which actually regulates much of the targeted advertising that your callers are talking about. And you know, it's hard for me. Privacy is one of these things that's kind of a modern invention. Like we're used to being left alone. Historically, it's not something that we really had when we lived in small towns or hunter-gatherer tribes. But it's something we've grown very attached to. I think one of the problems here that people, I think, have trouble with Facebook is that I think for many people, it's actually become a utility in many ways. This notion of a scrollable feed with optimized content from our friends and from our media is something that I think we're really not going to give up. And I have a hard time believing that people are actually going to delete Facebook. In fact, I just tweeted that delete Facebook is the new I'm moving to Canada, right? It's the sort of signaling act that I don't think many people are actually going to follow up on.
Well, Noel writes, when something is offered as free, you are the product. And Ben writes, it seems these kinds of scandals hit Facebook once a year and they do nothing because their network currently has a monopoly over all other social networks. Maybe we can somehow break up Facebook and force smaller networks that interconnect. Well, what do you think? What would it actually take to bring Facebook down, Antonio?
Yeah, you know, most antitrust law was not written in an era of what's called network effects. And a network effect is basically for your listeners who don't know, a given social network obviously is worth a lot more if it's twice as big, right? It's worth way more than twice as much. The whole point of Facebook is that you go there and everyone is on it. It is true that Facebook essentially very aggressively either buys or replicates any social network that would compete with it. In some senses, it does seem to act in a rather predatory manner. I'm not sure how that would actually function. I guess you could split apart Instagram and WhatsApp from the main Facebook and stop the data join that happens across them. That'd be one scenario, I guess. But again, that would really cut down their value, not just to Facebook, but also to users.
We're talking with Antonio Garcia Martinez. He's a former Facebook product manager, contributing writer for Wired. And let's plug his latest column. It's called The Noisy Fallacies of Psychographic Targeting. It's available at wired.com. And again, his book is called Chaos Monkeys, which we featured here on Forum. There was an undercover investigation by Channel 4 News in England, and it revealed how Cambridge Analytica secretly campaigns in elections across the world. This is Cambridge Analytica Chief Data Officer Alex Taylor. Let's hear.
If you're collecting data on people and you're profiling them, that gives you more insight that you can use to know how to segment the population, to give them messaging about issues that they care about and language and imagery that they're likely to engage with. Mm. And we use that in America and we use that in Africa.
Response, Antonio?
You know, it's funny. He could have said the exact same thing if he was the VP of marketing for a random e-commerce company. You know, I think one of the big themes here is that, and I think why people are objecting to this so vehemently, is that the political world that frankly was quite a bit behind the curve when it comes to modern, you know, marketing and digital marketing techniques is finally sort of catching up. And so the same techniques and tricks and targeting and data that companies such as Amazon or Zappos use to sell you shoes or soap or whatever are now being used to sell you on Trump and Brexit, right? And I think in some sense, at least in the U.S., people put up with the targeting when it comes to just a consumer product. But I think when democracy is at play, they're less willing to have something like this happen, to feel that they've been psychologically bamboozled into one or another, political philosophy. And so I think that's, you know, it's funny because all these technologies that we're talking about are at least 5 years old, right? To me, it's almost kind of not news. I think what's news is suddenly, you know, we saw how it was used in the case of Trump, and now everyone is paying attention.
I have to ask, particularly in the wake of the Theranos story, how much of what Facebook does in secrecy? I mean, you know, it's sort of the guiding principle that Steve Jobs had, you know, keep all this company stuff sort of undercover. How much of this do you think has to do with, well, I'd love to ask this question to Zuckerberg or Sheryl Sandberg. I mean, how much has to do with just wanting to make sure the profits are coming in and they're coming in the right way? And how much of it has to do with a kind of naivete, not paranoia necessarily, but really what I would characterize as naivete. I mean, they both seem to think that they were connecting the world and doing all this good and so forth, and now things are cracking at the seams.
Yeah, you know, I think this is just one of the occupational hazards of being a techie in Silicon Valley, that you approach whatever technology you're building with a strong dose of techno-optimism, and you don't kind of have a tragic sense of history and kind of imagine the more negative outcomes of what you're building. I mean, the reality is that the vision...
You live in that bubble, in other words.
Yeah. I mean, once you get used to seeing the world from inside Menlo Park, a gorgeous corporate campus, it's very difficult to take yourself outside of it and see the world from another point of view. Yeah.
Now, let me get another caller on here, and let me get Maddie from Palo Alto. Good morning.
Hi, how's it going?
Hi.
Hi. So I'm a Stanford student and took a class last year on how campaigns are usually using media. And we had a representative from Cambridge Analytica actually come to our class and talk about how they're essentially buying data from every available place. So they're buying the list of who subscribes to what magazines. And, you know, they're probably buying, like, my ACT score or whatever. And they have almost a million data points on each person that they are putting together this, like, algorithmic profile of. And so, yes, in some cases, like, they're getting, like, demographics from Facebook. But compared to all of the other, I guess, a little bit more intimate data points that they're also buying on me, I just don't think that me leaving Facebook or me or somehow them not having my basic demographics from my Facebook profile is going to change what they do or what similar companies do. Like the data and demographics that they're getting are available in tons of other ways.
So, Maddie, I think what you're saying is they're all doing it, so why get disturbed over it? Is that what I'm hearing?
I'm just saying that I don't think that my Facebook profile really says that much that they couldn't buy from other sources.
All right. I appreciate hearing from you, and I thank you for that call. Let me go to another caller, and that's Kyle. Kyle, join us.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Yes, can hear you fine. Go ahead.
Hi, great. I was just wondering what the rationale for people getting off Facebook is. I feel like if everyone on the left gets off Facebook, then all that's going to be left is a platform for pro-Trump supporters, and then, you know, you won't need Cambridge Analytica anymore because you'll just be able to put your message out to the platform as a whole. I feel like more what we need is just regulation and, you know, actually controlling, you know, how the data is used and controlling what Facebook does.
Antonio, you want to weigh in here? Garcia-Martinez?
Yeah, no, I think your first caller is very astute, and it's absolutely correct. The reality is that there's an enormous third-party marketplace in your data, and it not just, you know, predates Facebook, it predates the internet. To be honest, some of the largest conglomerates, and I get into this in my book, Chaos Monkeys, actually come out of the direct mail world. So they've been doing this since the 60s. They've been tracking every American with all these data points since literally, you know, before there was a man on the moon. And it's only recently that's been projected on Facebook. But frankly, you know, you can hashtag delete Facebook all you want, but you're still going to get targeted via other means. I mean, the reality is a lot of the data that's actually being used on Facebook is not actually Facebook-owned and operated data, that they allow advertisers to sort of find you online, but it's not actually the data on Facebook that you're being targeted by. And so your first caller was absolutely correct, that you're even deleting Facebook from your phone is not going to really change that much.
Well, there was somebody from Cambridge Analytica who said, this really doesn't necessarily predict how people are going to behave. There's a kind of misconception here. You know, in fact, I was reading some stuff about these psychographs and how they say this person is neurotic or not neurotic, and therefore you can say, based on what they consume and everything else, they're going to vote for Trump or they're going to vote for Hillary Clinton. It doesn't often work that way. And in fact, like I said, a Cambridge Analytica spokesman said, really, it's a bunch of nonsense.
I mean, I don't know if I go quite that far. Although I tend to agree that in general, people are overstating Cambridge Analytica's claims. Although it sounds like the spokesperson you spoke to was particularly humble, I guess now after this all blown up.
The CEO of Cambridge Analytica said, we made the difference in the election. Let's get that out there.
I mean, to be honest, psychographics historically has been a little bit snake oily in a field full of snake oil. But, you know, it doesn't actually have to work for you to be able to sell it inside the advertising world. And so even if it didn't work, it could actually still challenge a lot of spend. But I do share that view that at the end of the day, psychographics is a little bit overhyped as an actual targeting technology.
Some listener comments. Robert writes, what am I doing about Facebook? Simple. I never had an account because I always wanted to avoid these kinds of obvious privacy problems. Sylvia says, I think this crisis will actually help Facebook grow as a company in a way that maybe they resisted until now. Companies break our trust in more harmful ways all the time. Think of Equifax. And Dee writes, try to get off Facebook. You're stuck. They make it impossible to delete. There is a problem there, isn't there, Antonio?
I mean, there definitely is a stickiness. There's, you know, a team inside Facebook and indeed inside almost every startup called Growth that effectively engineers the app to be to condition you to be as addicted as possible to that app. And that's absolutely right.
And a tweet from Debbie who says, so long, Facebook. Last night on my status update, I'm out of there. Totally disgusted with your behavior. And let's get some more calls on here. And let's go next to Alicia. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Great discussion, Antonio. With regard to your comment about mass exodus to Canada, I want to challenge you a little bit. I understand what you're trying to say, but I deleted my account last night for the same reason, but mainly because of the lack of resolve that Facebook showed in regards to what happened in the last election. I feel like they're in too deep with the security and attending to all their users. And the final stroke for me was that they could even get into your contact data. And that's unfair, right? Because I can put up my information, but other information should be exposed as well. I encourage all to delete.
Okay. I thank you. You want to respond, Antonio Garcia Marquez?
That's an understandable view. I mean, you know, Facebook actually makes available lots of privacy tools. For example, the whole platform product that Cambridge Analytica used to suck out your data, which is the data that got stolen, you can actually put all that under lock and key. You can actually control that. There's actually a setting screen where you can do that. But the privacy controls have been famously slightly incomprehensible to most users. And yeah, I mean, I understand her frustration. And I definitely think that Facebook deserves a little criticism here for having taken so long to address this. Yeah.
And more of your calls. Let me go next to San Jose and welcome Judy. Judy, welcome to Forum.
Hello. Yes, I wanted to address the fact I've read Antonio's book. I loved it. And in that book, he talks about a new employee orientation meeting he went to at Facebook. And that there was this question that was asked, well, what is Facebook? And the answer was provided by suggests it was a plant, employee, and says, oh, it's like your newspaper. And with that statement, I don't know how Mark Zuckerberg can ever get away with Facebook saying that it is just a platform and try to abdicate his responsibility for being a media and being regulated as such.
Well, that's probably what he's going to say if he goes in front of the Congress again. One could almost predict, Antonio Garcia Martinez.
Yeah, no, thanks for reading the book. And that's a great scene to quote in this moment. Like I mentioned earlier, like the reality is that the vision that we're living in today was always sort of imagined. But I think in a lot of the optimism and excitement of creating it, they kind of forgot some of the negative consequences of what it would actually mean for everyone to have their personalized newspaper, which also means their own personalized
reality.
You
shouldn't have read Orwell, really.
Right.
Might have helped. Let me thank the caller and read a tweet from Jeffrey who says, if I could get the readership on my blog the way I can on Facebook, I would drop it in a hot minute. And we'll go to more of your calls. Let me get James on from Dublin. James, you say it is a breach, huh?
Yeah. Well, I have two comments and a quick question. So first off, no matter how they got the data, they acquired data that was not intended to go to them. That is a breach, whether they hacked a database, whether they used social engineering, whether they came up and politely asked for it. They acquired data that they were not supposed to acquire. So that sounds like a breach to me. My second comment is,
are you going to delete your Facebook account?
Yeah, I already have.
Oh, okay.
my second comment is, you've made a fantastic case for more diversity in Silicon Valley, where nobody saw this coming. Everyone had the best idea. But if you talk to women, you talk to people of color, they've been talking about how this platform could be misused for years. And like you said, everybody kind of had, you know, rose-colored glasses on, thinking that, oh, we're connecting the world, we're helping people. So again, more diversity opens up those viewpoints and makes that information, you know, more readily available during the development phase of software like this. My question is, when you do delete your Facebook profile, what happens to that data?
So I think he's absolutely right that it does make a case for diversity, right? I mean, if you look at something like the situation in Cambodia, for example, just to cite a random geopolitical situation where Facebook is evidently involved in, a lot of the ethnic strife or genocide or whatever the term for it is. You know, I it's one of those things that indeed I think people at Facebook just did not imagine that the platform would be used for that. And yeah, diversity of viewpoint would actually, in some sense, help the company internalize these viewpoints and imagine these viewpoints. In terms of what happens to your data, you know, I worked on the ad system, and I wasn't really on the identity side. I don't know what to tell you.
Does diversity maybe include people who are not naive, or not sheltered, or something like that?
Yeah.
Here's a tweet from SK. It says, I deleted my account years ago, strongly encouraging everyone I know to leave Facebook ASAP. And Craig says, with regard to marketing, soap is one thing, but ideas or politics are more complex. Marketing an idea is more akin to propaganda and is a direct manipulation to shape power structures. And let me bring another caller aboard here from Cupertino. We welcome Jacob. You're on the air.
Hi. Great discussion this morning. I wanted to disagree with a former caller who said that the same information is available to from a lot of different sources other than Facebook. And what I disagree with there is that when you have people posting and then people reacting to it, you can do a lot of machine learning on how people react and then learn how to influence behavior as a result of that. And I don't think you really get that from third parties selling, like, what brand of diapers you buy.
Again, the difference between politics and power and things like soap or diapers, Antonio?
Yeah, no, I think what he's mentioning is definitely important on sort of the organic side, right? Again, not to get too wonky, I think it'd be very difficult to build an ads product around machine learning on specific human comment on a particular thread. It's very easy to construct a just-so narrative around that. I think it's much more difficult to actually create a product that does that at a scale of 2.5 billion users. However, I do think on the organic side, you know, the so-called filter bubble, the echo chamber, fake news, whatever you want to call it, there, I do think that rumor and fake news and folklore and all that plays out in weird ways that are hard to control. And that is something that's not accessible outside of Facebook.
Good basic question here from John. In practice, what would it look like to a Facebook user who has been targeted by Cambridge Analytica campaign? If I fit the demographic that they were interested in, would I see an ad on Facebook, something else, spam, email?
Presumably, you would see an ad that appeals to your deep personality types, whether that be extroversion, conscientiousness, neuroticism, etc., or issues that particularly spark your attention. And that's, yeah, in theory, that's what they did.
And a good question from a listener by the name of Christian. Might this be the beginning of the end to the personal data mining business model? Hopefully people will wake up to the dark side of these practices.
I don't think that. I think data is a new oil and it's going to be here for a long time.
Yeah, we're into it and we're with it probably. We'll have to end it on that. Good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Likewise.
Antonio Garcia Martinez, former Facebook product manager and contributing writer for Wired. In the hour ahead, we're going to talk about girls. And I say girls because the age group definitely fits. Enough As She is a book by leadership development specialist at Smith College, Rachel Simmons, who will be joining us in studio. And she has a book out all about, well, growing expectations of girls and allowing them to thrive more because the expectations may be too strong. Stay tuned for that. It's up ahead on Forum. Thanks for being with us this first hour. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by Jan Schramm and Maria Minetti Schramm, founders of the Minetti Schramm Museum of Art at UC Davis, which preserves the legacy of renowned artists such as Wayne Thiebaud for future innovators by dedicating a third of its space to arts education.